Today, we'll talk about how to use FastPass Plus at Disney World for on-site and off-site guests. That's coming up on this episode 22 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go. I am your host, Shannon Albert. We talk about strategy and planning ideas for people that are going on Disney World trips, and I welcome you to this episode of WDW Prep to Go. Not only am I the creator of this podcast, but I'm also the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com, and I invite you to join me there. And there's also social media, so anything you can name almost, I'm there. Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, Facebook page. And the Facebook page happens to probably be my favorite. That's facebook.com/WDW Prep School. Now, today we're talking about a hot topic, and that is FastPass Plus. And as this episode goes live for the first time on January 19th, 2014, we are currently in the middle of the official rollover to FastPass Plus for everybody. And that's the main topic for everybody who's planning trips, because it's new and it's hard to understand and it's hard to kind of figure out how to change plans with a new system in place. So we'll dive into that in just a minute. Before we do, I did want to remind you that if you're an iTunes user, to please leave an iTunes review. You can do that through the app on your phone or computer, or you can get there by going to wdwprepschool.com/iTunes. It'll take you there. It helps the podcast to get found when people go and look for podcasts for planning Disney World trips, because the podcasts with more reviews show up at the top, and that's where you want to be. Here is the 5-star review of the day. It is by somebody with a username WDWJags, and the subject is a personal favorite. And this person says, after listening to one episode of WDW Prep School, which is actually, it's actually called WDW Prep to Go, but it's very easy to confuse with the website being called that, I quickly subscribed. I regularly listen to 5 different Disney podcasts and have tried many others, but this quickly became one of my favorites. I appreciate the practical information and great perspective Shannon offers. The length is almost always just right for my commute to and from work and brightens my day as I get even more excited for our upcoming trip in March. Thanks for a great resource. And I appreciate you taking the time to leave that review. I know that's an extra step that I often don't even remember to do, and I'm a pretty heavy podcast listener, and I often forget to take the time to tell people what I think of their podcast. So I appreciate that very much. Now, let's go ahead and dive in to today's topic. And just as a reminder, I always give a quick tip of the day at the very end, so stay tuned for that as well. Now, if you hear me flipping papers during this episode, it's because I have so many notes, and I don't normally have so many, but there are a lot of bullet points I wanted to make sure to hit, so I have lots of stuff written down that I wanted to cover. So let's talk about first what FastPass Plus is. Now, what FastPass Plus is, the new FastPass system that is in place at Disney World. The old FastPass system allowed you to walk up to rides that offered FastPass, put in your park ticket, and it would spit out a paper FastPass telling you to come back at a certain time to ride that ride. And you would have to go to the machines for every ride to do that, that you wanted to use a FastPass for. And there was a certain wait, like after you got one FastPass, you had to wait like an hour or so to get the next one. And it was just sort of a built-in part of a lot of people's strategy. Go to this machine, get this, go ride this, then go back and ride it, you know, et cetera. So it's something we're familiar with. It's been around for a while. But what Disney has done is replaced the old legacy FastPass with something called FastPass Plus. Everything new at Disney has a plus on it. I don't know what it'll be in the future, like an exclamation mark or something. But right now, everything has a plus on it. And the gist of the FastPass Plus system is that it is digital, so there aren't any paper printouts like you had before. And it allows guests, whether they're staying on-site or off-site, to reserve 3 FastPass Plus reservations per day in one park. And no matter how many times I say that, people still ask me questions. Really? 3? Really? What if I go to 2 parks? And the answer is yes, it's only 3 per day. Even if you're a park hopper, you have to choose which park you're going to get the 3 FastPass Plus reservations in for that day. Okay, so that's the gist of it. And there are some differences between on-site or off-site, and I will address those as we go along. So let's first talk about how to make FastPass Plus reservations. Now, as I discussed, the old system had you going to each ride to pull the FastPass, and then you would come back and use it later. So there was a lot of like backtracking and kind of running around in the parks. But now the way that it works is for people that are staying on site, they can book FastPass Plus reservations up to 60 days before their trip begins. And you can do it online, and you can use an app on your phone. And you can also use kiosks in the park. And that's if you choose to make reservations or changes to your reservations while you're in the park. But you can do it up to 60 days in advance in the app or online. If you're an off-site guest, the way that you make them is at the kiosks in the park. You cannot make advanced reservations. You go to the kiosks, which are located in various spots throughout the parks, and you make those when you arrive. You can make all three at once, and to me, that's kind of nice, because before, when you would go in, you could pull one FastPass, and then you could wait a while and pull another one. But now what you do is you go in and you make all three at the same time. For off-site guests, I'd recommend writing your names on the tickets, because when you go to make the reservations, if only one person from your group wants to take all of the tickets with you to get them, you can, just like with the old fast passes. But you need to go ahead and write the names on those so you can kind of keep track of who has what reservations. And one thing to note is that there are no printouts. So for off-site guests who go to the kiosks, or on-site guests if you choose to use the kiosk, there are no printouts when you make those. So you need to, I think you can email yourself the information, which means you'll have to have your phone with you so that you can pull up the information on email. You can take a picture of the screen if you have a camera. You can write it down. And you can also access it through the My Disney Experience app. And when you do that as an off-site guest, you are able to view your fast passes in the app but not edit it. If you stay on site, you can actually go into the app while you're in the park and edit it on the fly. If you're an off-site guest, you can view the reservations that you've made, but you cannot change them. One thing to note for off-site and on-site guests is that when you are kind of in the system and you're making the reservations, it will give you three reservations. Even if you only request one or two, it will automatically plug something in the third spot. So at the end, you're going to end up with three reservations. And it's going to sort of default them to some different time ranges. It's going to try to make a good guess about what you want. And you can go ahead and book them. But if one of them just wasn't quite right, you can go into the individual reservations and try to edit the times on those. And even you can't just make changes then. You can make changes at any time, really, after you've had them. So, for instance, let's say that I booked my FastPass reservations from home before I left for my trip. And then I got there, and I realized, oh, we're not going to make that because our lunch is taking a little longer than we thought. So you can open the app on your phone or visit a kiosk in the park and edit a FastPass Plus reservation to be later if you want. That's actually something that happened on my last trip. And it sort of takes a different mindset than we're used to. My son's actually the one that said, why are you worried about us making that FastPass Plus reservation when you can just edit it so that we can go to that ride later? Which is true. I went in and edited it. Now, I will be the first to say that on-site guests with smartphones have a huge advantage here, because you can make changes while you're standing in line or while you're eating lunch or whatever. It's very, very convenient. But other people do have the option to do it at the kiosks. So that's kind of how you book the FastPass Plus reservations. Now, the strategy for booking them is a whole other topic, and we'll dive into that here. Now, what you want to do when you are booking FastPass Plus reservations is choose the highest priority items. And, that's sort of obvious. This was true with the old fast passes as well. You don't necessarily want to get fast passes for Spaceship Earth, but you definitely do for Soarin' or Test Track, for instance. And so you definitely want to prioritize. And I just wrote a complete post on Animal Kingdom last week that could help you figure out the priorities. And then my next three posts after this are going to be for the other parks. So, the details of that will be on the website. But in general, you'll want to choose the highest priority items. Now, at Epcot and Hollywood Studios, as of right now, they have what they're calling tiered categories. So they only allow you to choose one top tier ride or attraction, and then you can choose two from a lower tier. And so, for instance, at Epcot, the top tier includes Test Track and Soarin'. Those are the two most popular rides, and you have to choose only one of those, not both. And so the strategy here would be to choose one of those, show up when the park opens, and go ride the other one, and then you can go ride the one you have the reservation for later. But Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom do not have tiers. As of right now, you can choose whichever rides you want. When you do make reservations, I recommend that you make them for late morning at the earliest, because the first couple hours that the park's open, you can actually do a lot without fast passes. And so I recommend that late morning be the earliest time that you schedule your Fast Pass Plus reservations for. As I mentioned earlier, you will have to book three, whether you like it or not. And I actually tried to book two, and it automatically plugged in the third. But sometimes it's hard to do, because sometimes, like at Epcot, it's like, after Test Track and Soarin', what should I even put in that third spot? But if you don't, the system will do it automatically. One limitation to this is that you cannot book the same attraction twice. And I find that kind of hard, especially for people that have small children. And because small children often like to repeat things, and sometimes those things are rides that have lines. So I would say one of the most popular things for kids to want to repeat is the Buzz Lightyear ride. And, you can't book it two times for it when you're booking your reservations. But what you can do is use a FastPass Plus reservation at a ride, and then after you ride it, you can go and edit one of your remaining FastPass Plus reservations to be that ride. As long as there's availability left, you can ride that ride again. But when you first book all three, you cannot book the same thing twice. Another thing that you could do if you want to repeat something is make a FastPass Plus reservation for it, but also show up at park opening and ride it without a FastPass Plus reservation, then ride it with a FastPass Plus reservation. One sort of side note to all this is that if you've never been to Disney World, which is a lot of people, I think it would be difficult to figure out what to choose. And that's definitely a downside. But, I would say do a little bit of research, figure out what you think is going to be the most enjoyable for your family, and then leave, open the possibility that you might want to repeat something. For instance, like Buzz Lightyear, maybe they don't like it, so you can go and ride something else. But I know for us, when we were on our first trip, it was kind of surprising what the kids ended up liking. And of course, I was like, let's do it again. And we could do that when we could pull the fast passes. It's not as easy now, but if you employ some strategy there, it's doable. Now, after the Fast Pass Plus reservations are made, the way that you use them is that people who are staying on site will have magic bands, and these magic bands have an RFID chip in it that are scannable to do everything pretty much at Disney World. You can enter the parks with it, you can pay for things, and you can also check in for FastPass Plus reservations. Off-site guests have park tickets that have RFID enabled on them, and so where on-site guests are scanning their bands, off-site guests will scan their park tickets. They work the same way. So you will show up for your FastPass Plus reservation at the ride with your park ticket or your magic band, and you'll be given a window of time, like say 10:20 to 11 o'clock or whatever it is, and you'll just show up in that window. There is a bit of leeway. I was able to get in a few minutes early for one, and they also will allow you to go like 10 or 15 minutes later, something like that. So try to show up in your window, but there is a little bit of give there. The first scanner at the attractions will require one person in your group to scan. And then that just confirms that you do have one, and they'll usher you through. And then the second scanner is everybody in your group will have to scan to confirm that each person has a reservation. And then you will board the ride or go into the attraction. If you do arrive for a FastPass Plus reservation and the standby line is only 5 or 10 minutes, I would skip the FastPass Plus line, get in the standby line, and then make a change to your FastPass Plus reservation on your phone or at a kiosk if there's something else that you want to use it for. There's no sense in wasting a FastPass Plus. I think my son and I went to It's Tough to Be a Bug at Animal Kingdom, and there were people scanning their magic bands to go into it, but there was no wait. So we got in a little bit ahead of them because we just walked in and they were kind of fiddling with their magic bands. And it just pained me to watch that because it was completely unnecessary. But if it happens to you, and you won't know ahead of time necessarily if it's going to have a short wait or not. So it's something that could happen to all of us. But go ahead and get in the standby line and change it if there's something else that you wanted to do that day. One topic that many people wonder about is the concept of rider switch, which is sometimes called child swap. And I just wanted to say that this has been working exactly the same as before. And that is that if you have a family with, let's say, one child that's too scared or too young or too short to ride one of the bigger rides, like, let's say, Space Mountain, you can still ride it and take turns. So let's say you have a child that is 4 and a child that is 8, and the 8-year-old really wants to ride, but the 4-year-old can't or won't. So let's say mom goes with the 8-year-old and rides Space Mountain and asks for a rider switch pass. The cast member will hand you a rider switch pass, and then when you get off, you can hand that rider switch pass to dad, and the 8-year-old can also go again. And that way, the 4-year-old always has somebody to stay with them, but everybody else gets to ride as well. Now, the rider switch pass has allowed up to 3 people. I read some text on the Disney World website that said up to 2 people, but as far as I know, they're still allowing up to 3 people to use that rider switch pass in the second group. I do recommend that the first group have Fast Pass Plus reservations. So when the mom and the 8-year-old shows up for the first ride, they would have Fast Pass Plus, but they would get a rider switch. So dad and the 8-year-old for the second one wouldn't need one. I hope that makes sense. So the point is you'd only need half as many Fast Pass Plus reservations, but it also takes twice as long because you're taking up time to ride the same ride twice. So I hope that explains it. But the bottom line is that it is working the same. And I have a whole article about how this works that I will link in the show notes to help kind of explain that a bit better. It's a pretty handy little system they got in place. So I recommend using it if you have little ones and you want to ride some of the bigger rides. Now, I want to say up front that we're kind of getting towards the end here, aren't we? I want to say that I don't have an overall negative view of FastPass Plus, and I know a lot of people do, and my husband keeps telling me people just don't like change. But first, you know, there's a couple of reasons for not being negative about it. First of all, it's here, and we have to deal with it, so there's absolutely no point in being negative. It's just a matter of dealing with the reality. The second thing is that I don't necessarily see it as a huge disadvantage. There are some advantages and disadvantages. So let's just talk about those real quick. First of all, the advantage is that if you're staying on site, you can book ahead of time, which is convenient. If you're staying off site, you can book all 3 fast passes at once. So when you were using the old fast passes, everybody had to go in and grab fast passes at rides. And then the second time you wanted to grab a fast pass, you had to go to another ride and grab it and come back, etc. So there was a lot of running around. But even for off-site guests, being able to go in and book 3 fast passes at once is, you know, to me, saving some time and running around. So that's an advantage in my view, at least in many aspects or many respects. Another advantage would be there are more fast pass opportunities. They have basically put fast pass pluses at almost everything. Now, a lot of them are ridiculous, and I don't recommend using them for everything. But some of them are really good opportunities, like the ability to show up at, for instance, the Finding Nemo show at Animal Kingdom. You used to have to line up for that and wait for a long time beforehand. But if you choose to get a FastPass Plus for it, you can show up just a few minutes beforehand and be seated before the standby line. And so that's nice. That was not available before. So I would put that as an advantage as well. Another advantage is that you can change reservations. And so before, with the old FastPasses, you would have a paper ticket and it would have a return time. And if something happened, there wasn't much you could do about it. You know, if you're not going to be able to make it, or it's going to be super late, or you wanted to change it to another ride, you really couldn't. And now you can, particularly if you have a smartphone, it makes it much easier. But even with that one, you can change it at the kiosks if you want. Okay, so that's some of the advantages. Some of the disadvantages are that you are limited to 3 FastPass pluses per day. And I really only see this as a big problem at Magic Kingdom, where there are lots of FastPass pluses to use. And you definitely, with the old FastPass system, could use more than 3 in a day. I also see this limit as an issue for people that like to park hop, because you do have to choose one park or the other. You can't, you know, use fast passes at one and hop and use fast passes at the other one like you could before. So that's definitely an issue for some people. Another disadvantage is is the tiers that are defined at Epcot and Hollywood Studios. Now, I don't really consider this a huge disadvantage, but I know many people do, so I'm going to talk about it. And, you know, when you're going to Epcot, you have Test Track and Soarin' are both top tiers, so you can only get one fast pass plus for those. But you kind of always had to make that decision before. So in the past, when we would go to Epcot, we would go to Soarin', get fast passes for Test Track, or, you know, vice versa. You really had to choose one or the other anyway, because they both had lines that built up. So you still have to choose, and, you know, many people believe that that's a disadvantage, but it may or may not be. Another disadvantage is that it requires planning ahead. Using FastPass Plus requires planning ahead, for particularly for on-site guests, if you're going to make them 60 days in advance. That means that you're having to decide ahead of time, yes, I'm going to be at Magic Kingdom on July 23rd. And, you know, for those of us that plan pretty rigidly, that was always part of the process anyway. But I will say, even for me, I did like to leave some flexibility open. Like, I would leave the last couple of days of our trip open to see what we felt like we still wanted to spend more time on, and we could sort of make changes on the fly. You can still do that. I mean, even if you have FastPass Plus reservations ahead of time, you can open your app and modify them. But the whole process just definitely makes people think ahead of time. So, you know, that's a disadvantage. Another thing that people bring up a lot is that the necessity to use kiosks in the park could be a concern, particularly for off-site guests, because that's the only place that they can make reservations. And I will say, as of now, and it's still early, because as of now, the whole system is pretty new for off-site guests, this has not been a huge issue, because Disney has thrown lots of resources at this, including cast members who are walking around with tablets and can make the reservations for you. So when you arrive at the kiosk, you can do it yourself at the kiosk, or there's often cast members there who will do it for you. So far, it has not been a big issue, but I suspect as time goes on, we will learn more about this, and there will be a strategy to going to the kiosk with the least number of people, or the one that seems to be the least busy, you know, that kind of thing. But I understand that it would be a concern. I think as of right now, it's not a valid concern, but as all 4 parks become users of FastPass Plus as of this week, I think we will definitely get more information about how that's working out. So could be a disadvantage. Hopefully Disney is prepared and makes that process easier for off-site guests. So I hope that wraps it up. I will list all this stuff in the show notes if you would like to go back and kind of review some of the information later. Before we wrap up today, I wanted to mention a quick tip of the day. Now, when I was talking about FastPass Plus, I mentioned that park hopping was difficult because you have to choose one park, but my quick tip of the day is that if you're staying at a Boardwalk area resort or an Epcot area resort, and that includes Beach Club, Yacht Club, Swan Dolphin, and Boardwalk, that I highly recommend buying park hoppers, even with the FastPass Plus limitations in place. And that's because you are minutes away from Epcot. And I highly, highly recommend it, because that's one of the perks of being there, is that you can literally walk into Epcot and have dinner each night and kind of explore the country. So what we like to do is go visit a park, say Magic Kingdom, come back for a little break, and then walk over to Epcot in the evening and have dinner in one of the countries, explore a few countries, maybe watch Illuminations, whatever, you know, you can do whatever. But you should definitely get park hoppers if you want to arrange your trip that way, because that's, to me, taking full advantage of the location. So just something to think about, and even with the FastPass Plus limitations, I think that is a good reason to get park hoppers. I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the notes about the things that I've said, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode22, and that is the number 22. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.